Even when NPR's Ketzel Levine is on vacation, she is working. On her visit to South Africa, she promised not to take her microphone. So much for that. Here's what she brought back.
The Cape Floral Kingdom teems with plants that live nowhere else in the world. Consider Namaqualand, a region in the Western Cape. Think Oz. Just turn those fields of red poppies into melon orange daisies, spill them into ditches and onto the roads, and for a backdrop, dribble fistfuls of wet sand along blue shrubbed hills. The Namaqualand landscape is so otherworldly, the fields of orange so warm, I could have melted right into Africa. Yet even on the edge of oblivion, I could hear the voice of man.
What's the name of this fat-leafed, tongue-like plant? Is it Glattaria?
Though I went to South Africa to lose myself, I did not go alone. There were 12 in our party, garden writers, nursery owners, horticulturalists, and professional gardeners. Forget botanists, our driver called us bottomists. Our heads were always in flowers, our butts up in the air. We had come, after all, to the birthplace of gladiolus, not the tall, gaudy globs of flowers you stick into arrangements, but diminutive beauties that hide behind rocks and lure you in with their perfume. We'd come for flowering bulbs the size of your face. We'd come for forests of ancient aloes.
How many aloe freaks have we got here on board today?
One, two, three,
five.
Five aloe freaks.
Right, the aloe we're going to see today is Aloe lineata.
The itinerary set by our South African tour leaders would take us through an area a quarter the size of California. We would see maybe 6% of the entire country. I brought two pairs of boots. I imagined us hiking up mountains and trekking the African veldt, pushing the limits of exhaustion, as finally, triumphantly, we'd stumble on botanical treasures, mouthing the words, "Oh my God." Instead, we drove. At first, we drove with a purpose. Our guides knew what they were after and where they might find it. We drove through roadside farms, over mountain passes, and one time found wildflowers in a dump. But getting where we were going became an interminable journey, all because of one little word. Stop! Over and over, someone spots something on the side of the road. The van veers off to the shoulder, the big door rolls back, and out spill the bottomists like clowns out of a VW bug.
Get your cameras ready.
Here it's a stop to see orange gazanias pulsing with color. 5 minutes later, it's lavender daisies like fields of purple wheat.
Be very careful and don't trample them.
The next time it's pink Romulea, then yellow Romulea.
Watch where you put your feet.
A 5 minute stop turns into an hour long free for all, then we load up, hit the road, and do it again. Hour after hour and day after day, the cry of stop, the sound of the van door, the press of tumbling bodies, the short stretch of cramped legs. We weren't getting anywhere, but I was in South Africa. In a monumental landscape that stretched across centuries, in a country of political cataclysms that had been roiling for 400 years. How could I not be getting anywhere? It seemed my tour was standing between me and the place I'd come to see. So I started walking. Next time the van veered and the bottomists tumbled, I took off down the road. Didn't matter where it went or what plants might be on it. I just let the voices disappear behind me and let the silence of South Africa descend. In the months leading up to this trip of a lifetime, no matter what books I set out to read, I kept coming back to the Voortrekkers, the 19th century Afrikaner settlers. Their ancestors were French and Dutch. Their sons would be the architects of apartheid. They were a dour, fierce, Calvinistic, and culturally colorless tribe that rejected all forms of political control and went trekking into Africa just to be left alone. I, too, wanted nothing to do with a body politic. I wanted to find my own relationship with this landscape and make this trip mine. I felt I'd been missing South Africa by focusing on its plants. What could the face of a flower tell me about this immense and complicated land? The tribes, white and black, the treks, the wars, the betrayals, and heinous injustices. Could anyone in good conscience focus on the subtle markings of colors and leaf shapes in a place this profound? But I knew the answer. I'd seen it in the face of a gladiola the first day. This distinctly South African flower is at the very least 1 million years old. Its ancestors have seen and survived it all. Every marking, every line in its face has evolved as a specific response to its environment. In its own complex way, Gladiolus elatus is the story of South Africa. A poem by William Blake kept coming back to me, something about heaven in a wildflower. I learned it while doing a story on the Arizona desert in bloom. To see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wildflower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. Eventually, the van was pulling up behind me. Frankly, I was ready to climb back in. I had come to lose myself in Africa. And I have. For NPR News, I'm Ketza Levine.